W-T-H.
What the hell?
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 This is the WTH.
The WTH Podcast.
Hold on to your butts.
Jason Casey.
Jason Casey.
Kareem Daniels.
Kareem Daniels.
And Nate Darling.
Nate Darling.
From the Darling New Media Studios,
this is the WTH Podcast.
Hey there, and welcome into another episode of the WTH Podcast. If you're listening on the day it drops, happy Friday to everybody. If you're listening later, as many podcast listeners do, happy day.
Happy day.
Yeah, insert the first part, whatever day you may be listening.
Whichever day.
Yeah. The choice, yours. The pleasure, ours. Ooh. Coming up on the show today, Florida Corner comes back. Plus, we've got some fun news stories, including McDonald's here in Sacramento.
Oh, yeah.
It's good times with all of that. But before we get to any of that nonsense, let's talk weekend. Jason, no. What you got going on this weekend?
Oh, man.
Are you smoking something?
I wish, man. It's just going to be another one of those amazing weekends that is going to last not long enough.
Right.
Or just long. It's weird. In one sense, I'm at home on the weekends with the whole family. So both the kids are there and the wife's there. So it's crazy. So there's a sense of peace that happens by going to work Monday through Friday for 9 hours.
Right.
But at the same time, who likes to go to work? I'd rather stay at home.
I mean, if you work here at Darling New Media, which, that's pretty much me, it's great.
Oh, yeah.
It's great.
Because you're your own boss.
I am my own boss. But, yeah, it's one of those things where... Yeah. Kareem, any big weekend plans for you?
I'm actually going to get back on the poetry stage this weekend.
What?
At the Brick House Art Gallery for their second Saturday poetry event.
Oh, damn.
So I haven't done that in a while. And then I might do a poetry competition next month. So I want to get back in, get warmed up, get those vibes going again.
Excellent. Is a poetry slam?
No, it's just it's like a open mic kind of.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And then the competition next month is just the best poem. It's like a love poem. It's February.
Oh, yeah.
Love Jones competition.
The Velvet Jones competition.
Oh. It's
Velvet Jones.
There was this guy, I remember when I was going to the Mahogany series, and then I would go to some of the other events that were going on around town. There's this guy, Chef de Cuisine something. I can't remember his full name, but he always had some sexy poem. His thing was always about eating some women. If you know what I mean.
Oh, Lord.
But I remember February, they did that. It was all about love poems.
Yeah.
Nice. We're painting a bedroom. So this ends an almost year-long odyssey when my wife opened up the door to the room where the cats were living. And I know that sounds weird, but anyway. And she went in and tried to open a closet door, and the closet door hit the ceiling. She said, "That's weird." And we had a roof leak. So a new roof, a solar system, a new HVAC system, and some sheetrock work in the ceiling later. It's time to paint the room and move the little one into her own room. So this weekend we'll be painting.
Ah, nice.
Painting the room.
What color?
Probably about the same color it already is.
You're not going to do one color on one wall and then three other walls a different color?
No.
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 No stickers or anything on the walls?
No.
No clouds over the bed?
No.
Stars?
Going to paint that shit. Nope. Get some fucking, get some bone.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do exactly what my wife wants to do. And
yeah, that's about the way it goes.
And, you know, we'll hang up what we got to hang up, but, you know, it's weird. I mean, yeah, you can super kidify the room and go full on nursery, but I mean, there as a foster kid, you know, don't have any permanency guaranteed. So we want to keep her, of course, but you know, things happen and you don't personally have control over. There is a system in place to take care of kids like that, and we're part of it. But you know, it's one of those things that while you hope for permanency, it's not guaranteed, and then you kind of go, okay, let's give her a room and make it hers, but we're not going to do something like that. Cause you know, it's just,
it's to do like a kid color though.
Yeah, that's fine. It's going to be full of kid stuff. It's not going to be full of her stuff.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm,
so mm-hmm. That's all fine. Mm-hmm. Your wife has brainwashed you with this nonsense, hasn't she?
No, not at all.
Did you have that thing where you were in a room and she was pregnant and barefoot and pointing at the wall and you were having to paint and she had a roller to show you how to do it right because you were fucking it up like that commercial, like every commercial I've seen?
No, yeah. Luckily, I grew up with my stepdad who was a painter. So, mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many baseboards and how many doors I sanded before I was even allowed to touch it.
No, Jason, that sticker doesn't go there. This one goes there. One goes in the next sequence.
We didn't use any stickers. We looked at colors. We picked some colors that were neutral. I think it's like, I think we have like a yellow and then like a really light blue, yellow accent wall and then blue. But no, I mean like it was my thing and I was fine with it. Like who has more experience painting a house? Like we're painting rooms. Probably me, since I spent how many summers, vacation days going
that
with my...
That shit does not matter to them.
Oh. No, but it allowed me to be okay with it. Yeah. these are the kind of... Like, to me, it's me about me making myself feel okay with the situation.
The best brain surgeon in the world's wife thinks she's a better brain surgeon than he is.
Wow. No, she knew I was better.
I mean, ultimately...
She knew I did again.
Ultimately, it's not a big deal. We're gonna hang stuff up. We're gonna make it as is. It's just gonna be nice to have a house that feels complete again.
Yeah.
In terms of we've had half a room ever since we had to tear the sheetrock off the ceiling, and yeah, it's just been it's been so goddamn stressful for 12 months now.
Yeah.
When your house is torn apart and you take another member into you're following this, right, Kareem?
You're bringing
another member into your family and we're starting a business here. It's been 2019 was stressful as fuck.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
It was a stressful year. And that is why, as I started 2020, my only thing was, for a variety of reasons, to try to get rid of the garbage in my life and the negative in my life and make room for the positive. Because I've heard it for a long time and I always thought it was BS, but there is some truth to it. If you keep room around for the negative, you're carrying around the negative about, oh, this sucked, that sucked, you don't have room to experience the joy and the positive. And be present in the way you really need to be. So I've joined those people and I am getting rid of the negative. I'm getting rid of the dastardly parts of stuff. I mean, sure, there's still going to be grievances on Monday, but for the most part,
I don't know if people on Facebook can see this tear rolling down the corner of my eye.
No, cause we're not on Facebook. We're just recording this for later. you can't carry that with you. It's not healthy. And I mean, with all of the stress that 2019 brought, that was the one lesson that I learned was I cannot continue to be that way and be a successful human. It's just not going to work for me.
Mm.
And sure, if you're working in the corporate world, bring it on because everybody's like that. But You just can't. So, yeah, painting a room. All right, it's time for another one of our new segments. This one, this one features our friend Kareem. It's time for Kareem's Corner.
So, we'll have to get me some different music. But you kind of segue into what my corner is going to be about this week.
All right, get rid of that music.
So, Saturday, my friend Milton moved to Alabama, so I've taken over his duties at the bookstore as far as helping Mother Rose with the art art setup there. And so we had a art talk. The artist seemed a little flaky, but turns out the lady's a dentist. She's also a opera singer. She was a photographer. Hey,
get the fuck out of here. You're doing too much.
So, and she's not just a, she's like a cosmetic dentist. So she helps people with their smiles and things of that nature. And so she's doing her art talk and she's talking and she gives us the story about her being an opera singer.
Okay.
And, she says, yeah, one of my friends asked me to sing at her house. I sang, and then they asked me to sing again for a Christmas party. And everybody has that look that you guys have right now. And she's like, yeah, I went to this Russian opera teacher up in Placerville, and he told me that, what I do, most people, he said it takes them months and years to train people to do. And so we all looked at her like, yeah, okay, whatever. That look that you guys are giving me right now. So she asked if we wanted her to sing. And we was like, sure.
Prove it.
Prove it. And she fucking proved it.
All right.
Like I'm still blown away by the fact that she sang as beautifully as she did. And the other thing is she's an artist, but she never really wanted to be an artist. She did painting and stuff as a kid, but all of the art she's done has been because somebody has asked her to. And so, but she has really good stuff. And so one of the things that she said and that she reminded me was, she was like, you know, she felt like God's given her gifts and it would be wrong of her not to use the gifts that she's been given. And so, to carry on what Nate said, 2020 will be about using the gifts that I have that I haven't been necessarily putting the time and effort into that I really should be. So, and one thing that she said, which was for me a reminder and an affirmation, is most of the shit that I've done that people look at me like I'm crazy when I say I'm going to do it is because I'm not necessarily afraid to try it. And so in 2020, don't be afraid to try to do the things that you would like to do, because that's usually the only thing that's stopping you from doing it. Except for, you know, if you're trying to be an NBA player and you're 38 years old.
Why are you looking at me, man?
Or a Sacramento King.
Or a Sacramento King.
Sacramento King.
Yeah, but, you know, if there's something that you have been wanting to do or try, don't be afraid to try it, because that's the only thing that's stopping you from succeeding. And especially with me in comedy, watching people that I was doing comedy with Amazon specials, movies, Kyrie's about to be on Bill Burr's new show on Comedy Central.
I can't believe that. I remember his first, like, I remember when he used to come to open mics, like, you want to talk, like, and I was like, dude, this guy's horrible.
He was rough.
Yeah.
I used to take him, you know, give him rides home and stuff. But that's what I'm saying. But, you know, to watch people that I was doing comedy with
grow.
And the only thing that stopped me from being one of those people was
yourself.
Was myself.
Yeah.
So.
Well, there's part of it is that the other part of it, and this is an interesting thing with comedy. If you have a good job or a job that you're good at, that you spend time with,
yeah,
and you place any value in it, it is very hard to continue down the road of comedy.
Yeah.
Because it means you're going to be at work one day on almost no sleep because you were in a different town doing open mics and not getting paid.
Right.
You were dragging ass for some reason. So if you have a job where you are like a manager or, you know, somebody who's got a little bit of responsibility, it becomes really, really hard.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was just for me in I was starting, I don't want to say my career was starting to start off, but I'd for the first time made some money.
So that's
acting. And then I broke my leg.
Yeah. But that's the thing is you can't have a career and, and do, like, you can have a job and do comedy, but you can't have a career.
A day job.
Yeah. And that was the thing.
One that you talk about with disdain.
Yeah. And that was the thing was I got a career.
Yeah.
And then it changed. And the more money they pay you, the more shit they want you to do.
Oh, yeah.
The more time they want.
And then
until they decide that your position is no longer necessary. And then they call you into a room and tell you with HR, and then they give you a box to put your shit in.
Yep.
That's how it goes. That's how it goes. All right. Well, that was a fantastic initial Kareem's Corner. Thank you very much, Kareem. All right. Let's get into it. Here in Sacramento, they've found an interesting way to deal with homeless people at the McDonald's on Broadway. Hold on, let me unmute this for everybody.
Sacramento getting an earful from a nearby McDonald's. Bagpipes blasting nonstop. It's supposed to keep the homeless away, but residents say it's driving them crazy.
CBS 13's Rob Malcolm is live with the bagpipe backlash, Rob.
Yeah, that's right, guys.
The bagpipe backlash, guys.
You know, and right now the music has been turned off, but we talked with three restaurant managers here at this McDonald's about the bagpipe music that's been blaring from the loudspeakers. They declined to comment, but neighbors here certainly had a lot to say.
So you talked to three managers. You didn't. You tried to talk to three managers.
Yeah.
If you talked to three managers, they would have said something.
Yeah.
Aside from no comment.
This McDonald's at Broadway and 24th is open 24 hours, and some neighbors complain this sound has been running just as long.
And the first couple days, they had it on 24/7. So if we wouldn't have said anything or reported it to the police, they would have had that thing going on still.
Arnold Phillips lives across the street and says it's making him crazy.
It actually penetrates through the walls. Like, we can hear it. And I'm trying to watch TV or whatever, and it's going through that.
The bagpipe music is intended to...
By the way, all great music goes right to your soul, no matter what's in the way. It's the music of my homeland.
Drive the homeless away, and it doesn't appear to be working.
I think it's an absurd action to take instead of actually dealing with the issue.
The idea of weaponized sound is nothing new. This 7-Eleven in West Hollywood loops classical. This 7-Eleven in Sacramento replaced classical with the soothing sounds of this. But here at Broadway, it's raining bagpipes over, over, and over again. Talk about an earworm.
Sticks in your head when you're, like, going somewhere else and you're not even in this neighborhood.
Arnold wishes he could pull the plug. He's even talked to restaurant management.
Oh, they said they'll talk to the corporate people up higher, and that's all they said they could do, really.
Requests from CBS 13 fell on deaf ears, but Arnold's downstairs neighbor, at least, had his covered.
You know, I turn off the leaf blower, and I can still hear the bagpipes coming, and it's just...
It's dead.
Count yourself lucky if you're eating with earbuds, and if you're not...
I know both those guys.
Of course you do.
No happy meal here.
It was offensive to me because it's just so annoying.
Do what you will to annoy the homeless. But keeping your neighbors happy isn't that easy.
It's annoying us instead.
Okay. I mean, McDonald's, bagpipes, it makes sense.
I guess.
Well, no, I mean, heritage-wise.
Heritage-wise. Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
To be fair.
Yeah, to be fair.
Hilarious.
All right, so that's happening in Sacramento. Meanwhile, a Louisiana woman is behind bars on a felony drug possession charge after police discovered her methamphetamine stash in a small plastic container that was helpfully labeled dope. Cops are, yeah, that way she doesn't forget. Yep. Cops responded to a West Monroe residence after an unidentified complainant reported finding suspected narcotics inside the apartment, which is home to Candace Neal, who's 41, but looks much older. According to a probable cause affidavit, through further investigation, an officer found the dope container with suspected methamphetamine inside. Neal, cops say, left the apartment prior to deputies speaking with her. However, she was later arrested after being found hiding behind the residence. That always works. After being read her rights, she reportedly admitted owning the suspected narcotics. She was charged with possession of a controlled substance, booked into a local jail, and being held on $3,000 bond. Her rap sheet includes prior collars for possession of stolen goods, driving without a license, possession of methamphetamine with intent to distribute, and failure to appear in court.
Ratted her out. Burr, burr,
burr, burr. Meanwhile, in Ohio, the Florida of the North, it's been another casualty in the war on Christmas. We like to highlight the war on Christmas here. Mm-hmm. An Ohio woman behind bars after allegedly repeatedly punching a female victim who made the mistake of wishing her a Merry Christmas.
Oh, I'm sure that it happened exactly like that, too.
According to police, Henrietta Bush, who's 32, pummeled the victim in the head during an attack on December 25th in Avondale, a Cincinnati neighborhood. Now, court filings don't address the relationship, if any, between Bush and the victim, Rhonda Lewis, who suffered visible physical harm as a result of the attack. Bush was arrested on a misdemeanor assault charge and booked into the Hamilton County Jail, where she remains locked up in lieu of $10,000 bond, scheduled for a January 9th appearance in municipal court. Now, according to records, her rap sheet includes arrests for marijuana possession. Who says marijuana doesn't make you violent, Jason? Theft, menacing, assault, disorderly conduct, narcotics possession, probation violation, and driving with a suspended license.
Somebody held the blunt too long.
No, you know what it was? Is like somebody popped off and said something like, was like, she was a bitch. And then somebody was like, well, Merry Christmas to you too. And she's like, bitch, what'd you say? Like, you know that somebody said it was some sauce. You know, I mean, like somebody said,
well, maybe
like,
she said
Merry Christmas.
Maybe she said Happy Holidays, and the woman said, Donald Trump said we can say Merry Christmas.
Bitch.
And then bitch. That was the end of it. Meanwhile, in San Diego, a Superior Court judge has ruled that owners and operators of a pornographic website owe 22 women $12.7 million for fraud after lying to them about where the videos would be distributed and deceiving them into making them. Michael Pratt and Matthew Wolf, owners of the website Girls Do Porn, and actor Ruben Garcia were among the 13 defendants that Judge Kevin Enright ruled against in the four-month bench trial. Enright awarded the women $9.45 million in compensatory damages, $3.3 million in punitive damages, and ownership rights to their images that appear on the videos. He also ordered the owners to take down the videos from their site and other sites on the internet. Good luck with that.
That's done.
The money's one thing, but these guys have ruined the plaintiffs' lives, and we have to clean this up as much as possible. That's what the attorney for the women said. Some plaintiffs claim they were told the videos would be sold privately and not on the internet. What?
Oh, come on.
What?
That's kind of bullshit. Like.
Now, in a statement from the Justice Department, the website had generated $17 million in revenue, according to the defendant's financial records. The defendants face life in prison if convicted on the federal charges that they face, which is above and beyond this.
Three counts of sex trafficking by force, fraud, and coercion.
Mm-hmm.
Four counts of charging conspiracy to commit sex trafficking by force, fraud, and coercion.
It's like R. Kelly. Oh, by the way, R. Kelly, there's a season two.
Oh, what?
I've seen it. Oh, surviving God. R. Kelly season two.
On what is it on?
It's on Lifetime. Of course, same place that Surviving R. Kelly season one was.
It keeps popping up in my Netflix feed, and I keep going past it.
But that's the first season.
See that shit.
Oh, season two. But spoiler alert, in season two, he gets arrested.
Oh, man.
Season two, things don't go well for Robert.
Oh, God.
They address the Gayle King interview.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, yeah. All right. Let's, I believe it's right here. It is.
Florida.
Yeah.
Land of enchantment. And crazy shit. This is Florida Corner.
A tipsy Florida motorist whose blood alcohol content was measured at nearly three times the legal limit admitted consuming whiskey shots prior to driving, but assured cops, quote, "I'm a professional drinker," end quote. George Emanuel, who's 54, was collared late Wednesday after a sheriff's deputy spotted his vehicle speeding in a 35-mile-per-hour zone. Now, after being pulled over, Emanuel, who was wobbly and had watery and glassy eyes, he performed poorly on a series of field sobriety tests.
Oh, yeah.
Additionally, his blood alcohol... it says there's a typo. His blood alcohol contest. It's not a contest.
It's not.
If it is, he won. It was measured at 0.218 and 0.211. By the way, 0.08 is the legal limit, so he's nearly three times. After being read his rights, Emanuel admitted to consuming 1 to 2 shots of whiskey prior to driving. Oh, yeah, and a bottle of it before that. The yep. Gulfport resident reportedly declared, quote, "I'm a professional drinker." Well, good for you. Someone paying you for that? If not, you're not a professional drinker.
Yeah, you had paid. Mm. But to, and then just to say that he's not that great, I mean, I had a 0.28 on my first DUI. And that was like 3 hours after.
Yeah, well, literally, he had just done the shots. It hadn't kicked in.
Do you even remember that?
Not until, like, the airbag went off.
Snapped you back to attention. Wow.
Yeah, it was horrible. That car was destroyed.
He was released from county jail on his own recognizance. Meanwhile, a couple in Florida has been arrested over Kelly Clarkson's TV show Ends in Fisticuffs.
Oh, come on.
That's right. An argument over the Kelly Clarkson TV show turned violent when a Florida couple allegedly exchanged punches, according to police, who busted the duo for domestic battery. According to arrest affidavits, Linda Donahauer, who's 61, and Ronald Meyer, who's 55, were in their Clearwater residence late on a Monday afternoon when they engaged in a verbal argument about the Clarkson show. Now, Clarkson, who won the first season of American Idol in 2002, hosts the Kelly Clarkson Show weekdays on NBC. Check your local listings. The 37-year-old singer's hour-long program debuted in September. Get to it. On the December 30th show, Clarkson looked back at favorite moments from the program's first few months, which included appearances by Kobe Bryant, Blake Shelton, and Tracy Ellis Ross. Investigators charged that the quarrel between Donahauer and Meyer turned physical when an annoyed Donahauer punched Meyer in the shoulder to get him to be quiet. Now, Meyer allegedly responded by jumping on Donahauer and striking her in the face. Not okay. Cops report the couple had been in a romantic relationship for approximately 14 years and that they were both intoxicated, causing inconsistencies in their statements. They were both taken into custody for mutual battery.
It sounds bad enough to make you beat somebody.
They were both released on their own recognizance, and the judges ordered them to have no contact with each other or Kelly Clarkson. I'm kidding about that. They can go contact Kelly Clarkson all they like.
We all can.
Sure. Go. Probably get free tickets to our show if you want.
Tell her to take it out.
Make it stop. Kelly Clarkson. Yeah. Anyway, the shop Amazon tab at the top of WTHpod.com. Keep hitting it.
Hit it.
Keep hitting it.
Boom.
The hustle and bustle for small town news.
You know what? That was a sad effort.
Go for it again.
Yeah. Here we go.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
You deserve the hole open to that segment. My apologies. The hole opening. We go back to Plattsburgh, New York again.
Oh.
It was a big speak out to end the year.
I'm sure it was.
Had to split it in two.
Oh, damn.
This first one's titled Problems. Great example of how great government is at solving problems. Too much plastic in landfill and ocean. Pass law to ban bags unless they are thicker and therefore reusable. Stores use thicker, more expensive bags, increase consumer prices, and increasing plastic waste. Government messes up everything it touches.
Well, I'm sure glad you like your police and your library and your school and
your firemen.
Fire people.
They don't. You've heard Speak Out before, right? Saying. This next one's called Audit. The state audit of the school district, city school district, indicated that the purchasing policies were deficient. The administration and board has been asleep at the switch since 2010 by not reviewing them and adjusting them to acceptable state requirements.
That's a decade, bro.
It's more of a fact-based speak out.
Yeah, that, I mean, good. It's good to hear.
I see where Key Bank downtown is closing. Hey, how about another parking lot as there is so much to offer downtown?
Is that sarcasm?
It is.
Is it dripping?
It's dripping with sarcasm. I haven't been to downtown Plattsburgh in a while, but yeah, unless you want to get drunk, and a lot has changed, you're going to go get drunk. By the way, if you want to get drunk, I suggest the Monopole and have their Monopole wings. They're a goddamn delight. Goddamn delight. The Monopole, since the 1800s, providing Plattsburgh with wings and drunkenness. Ooh. I don't know when they started with the wings.
It wasn't until after Buffalo made them.
A study after study is a waste of city taxpayer money. City's center studies, recreation studies, parking studies, downtown revitalization studies. Now we're spending money on more recreational studies? The city council has been and is still too wishy-washy. Use the expert info that's already been provided.
I mean, depending on when they got it.
Yeah, they need to be complaining about what they did with the tax money. Be like, why come you didn't check to see if somebody wanted it there?
And finally, this one's called Dogs. Oh, who doesn't love a dog? Right?
Assholes.
Hey, people who bring their comfort dogs out with them, who needs the comfort, the dog or the owner? Some people are tugging on the leash to hold their dog back, and others are shaking like a leaf. If you can't go out with your therapy dog, can't go out without your therapy dog, maybe you should stay home. Sent from my iPad. I left that in because they printed sent from my iPad.
Because they wanted just to go to show how out of touch this person was.
I don't know. Well, no, it's a good point, though. You see people out with their dogs that are quote-unquote therapy dogs and stuff, and their dogs aren't trained.
Yes. Right.
They're not even fucking leash trained.
I love my dog, but I do not take her everywhere I go. And white people, your dog does not belong everywhere.
I'm not even going to argue. That's going to do it for this episode of the WTH Podcast. Thanks, everybody, for listening wherever you get your podcasts or checking us out on Facebook or YouTube, telling a friend about us. And by the way, Darling New Media, for all your podcasting needs, you too can have a podcast and we can help. All right, everybody, have a great weekend. I'll be painting. Jason will be smoking and Kareem will be enjoying poetry. What are you doing?
That's right.
All right. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next time.
W. T.